Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A three-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly three decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
There it goes! A no-doubter! See you later! Anthony Rendon slams his way to a 6-2 Nationals lead.
Another grand slam allowed by the Braves and another loss on this road trip. And welcome to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on The Game. Hey, we're back at the Kia Studios today. Can't believe we're already done with our portion of Falcons training camp. It's there and gone. And, of course, we will certainly be talking a lot about the Falcons.
I'm glad it's over.
Do you not like going out? I mean, it's a haul.
Listen, I love the fans. I love hanging out with the fans. I even love the fact that I signed more Atlanta Falcons balls, even though I never played for the Atlanta Falcons. Never played for them. Or in the Sigma, I tell people that all the time. I'm like, you know, I didn't play for the Atlanta Falcons. And they were like, they don't care. Sign the ball anyway. So I would sign the ball, and I would always put Eagles on the side of the Atlanta Falcons. Because I don't want anybody to assume or think that, hey, Hugh Douglas, why is he on this ball? You know what I mean? So I put Eagles on it because I just think it's just, I mean, it's not my ball. And I'm doing what people are asking me to do. But at the same time, I have to stay true to the team that I play for because I just think it's just facetious. Well, it is facetious because I didn't play for the Falcons. But, you know, I'm accommodating. But it's just weird, man. It's just weird to do that. But as far as being at camp, I just like the AC. I've gotten to that point now where, you know, I've done my time on the football field, and I just like air conditioning. And there's not a whole lot of that out there at training camp.
No, it's not a
whole lot of that. And so I like air conditioning. Love the fans, though. Love the interaction with the fans. Love the fact that they listen to the show and love the fact that they can tell me moments about the show that they've heard. But, yeah, I'm a fan of AC, man. I just, you know, I'm a fan of AC. And as y'all can tell, I'm a fan of not really shaving as much as I did in the past. I've just taken this whole hermit caveman thing to another level, and I kind of like it like that. You know what I mean? But have fun. Have fun. You know, got a chance to talk to a lot of great people. But, yeah, I like being in the studio.
And it's it was a lot of fun out there. And, you know, the fans are all excited. There's a buzz about camp. It's noticeable this year. There's a pep in their step, so to speak. Of course, the Falcons are going to be playing in 2 days. I can't believe the first football game is day after tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't really count that one. I don't. I mean, what? Matt Ryan going to roll out. They're going to roll him out. They're going to talk about him for about two plays, and then they're out of there. That's it. I mean, I don't really count this one. This one is to get people excited about football being back. But that's it. It really doesn't get the cranking until the next week a little bit because you get to see them a little bit more, a little extended time, things like that. But I don't get excited about this. But I will watch it to see some of the young guys because, you know, we've been talking about some of the young guys that are on the squad, especially the offensive linemen. So I'll watch it for that purpose. But it's going to be hard-pressed to get me past the second half. I'm not going to lie. Sorry, Mr. Fox, Terry, boss. I'm probably going to make it the second half. I'm going to probably get called in office for that too. But I don't think I'm going to be able to do it. to watch a whole preseason game of a bunch of guys running around, making mistakes, I'm cool. But you know what I will watch, John? Mm-hmm. I am going to watch to see how much the refs start calling holding because I saw that come across my ticker this morning when I was doing my cardio. that they said that they're changing the rule. They're going to start calling holding a lot more. I can't wait to see this. I want to see this. So I want to see if that's going to be the case.
Well, you're right. I'm kind of with you on this. You know, the funny thing about preseason, I can't wait for Thursday night because football starts and I get all excited about the start of the football season. And then you realize it's preseason football. And after about two games of preseason, I'm like, okay, I'm done with this. Can we play games that count? You know, I get really bored with the preseason really fast.
You know what I get excited about? When I used to be in them streets like that, uh-huh. is to go to the local bars, like in the neighborhood, the area, to see which bars are the best to just, not so much a theme bar, like you say a Patriots bar or something like that, even though like here in Atlanta, there's a lot of bars that like when you go to, they're probably a themed bar, but just to see how the crowds are. You know, like I know one spot that I used to like to go to watch football games, whether it be college or professional, would be the Bucket Shop. Because it's like a little duck off right across the street from the Lenox Mall. Mm-hmm. It's like a nice place. You can, if you want, you can go inside and watch, or you can go out on the balcony and watch. Another place to watch the games, nice place if you want to be the grown and sexy crowd, Dantana's. Dantana's is another nice place to go watch the game. So it's some nice little duck-offs here in the city to go check out the game.
Yeah, now Randy McMichael was talking yesterday. I heard him on his show with Andy, and Andy was asking him about preseason football, and Randy was saying, well, you know, I play like eight plays or something like that. But in those eight plays, I played all out.
Yeah, that's about right. Because some people go about the preseason differently.
Mm-hmm.
My thing was when I'm out there, I'm trying to go all out. I'm trying to make as many plays or make a play in that short period of time because I'm a little superstitious. I don't want to make all the plays, but I want to know that I'm on the right track. So that's how I would be. So, yeah, you want to go out there and you want to show them, you want to put a little something on film. You want to put a little something on the tape.
The Braves, again, give up a surrender. Their bullpen surrenders a grand slam, and they lose to the Nationals 6-3 last night. Among the headlines this morning with John and Hugh from the Kia Studios this morning. On this Tuesday, a couple of days ahead of the Atlanta Falcons preseason opener, and now just a matter of, well, let's see here if I can do the math, 33 hours and change away from the Major League Baseball trade deadline tomorrow. And so far, the trade deadline has been pretty quiet. I mean, the only big news was Marcus Stroman's deal to the Mets. Now, the Mets made another trade yesterday, trading Jason Vargas to the Philadelphia Phillies, picked up Jason Vargas in a deal. And, of course, we keep hearing that the Mets might trade Noah Syndergaard or Zach Wheeler or both. And, you know, maybe some teams are off the thing, you know, like the Giants and the Indians may not be trading their star players and, you know, a lot of wheeling and dealing. But this, my understanding, Hugh, the new rules say that, you know, tomorrow 4 o'clock is a pretty hard deadline. And so you got to get deals done. I'm surprised if there are going to be moves that there haven't been more made. And the big question is, will the Braves make a move? And what will they do? Because everybody seems to think they need some help in the bullpen.
Yeah, I think that's the consensus. Man, it's one of those things where only thing I can think of right now, John Fricke, is that some of the asking prices for some of these guys is ridiculous. You look at what they gave up for Stroman, the fourth and sixth prospect, that wasn't that bad. But, you know, when you're talking about getting, like, frontline guys, probably like Will Smith or somebody like that, the price might be a little higher because mm-hmm. Because of the team that's asking for it.
Right.
You know, I think that when you look at the Mets and people, like, you know, that more, I think Stroman more was like, you know, hey, if we get a chance to get rid of him, let's get rid of him for something. You know, because the asking price, it wasn't that pressing of a need. As a matter of fact, it had a lot of people scratching their head. Of all the teams that were making a move, why would the Mets be the first one off the board to do that? So, yeah, it was something like that. But I think probably today there'll be some more moves made, and that minor move made by the Phillies. But I think today will probably be some more moves made. If not, then you could best believe there probably won't be anything done.
The thing is, the Braves are fishing in pretty deep water, all right? I mean, you know, in terms of the fact that you have so many other people fishing with you. As much as we sit here and decry our bullpen, if you see those fans who say, our bullpen isn't that bad, I got news for you. They're right. Because comparatively, the Braves bullpen isn't that bad. It's one of the top 10 bullpens in saves. It's one of the top 10 bullpens in ERA. I know that comes as a bit of a shock. That's how bad everybody else's bullpen is. The Washington Nationals bullpen's ERA is a full two runs higher, two runs than the Braves. That's how bad Washington's bullpen has been. Philadelphia's bullpen is a disaster. The Dodgers feel their bullpen is such a disaster. Their frontline starting is something fierce. You get past, if you can, and that's the big thing with the Dodgers. That's why the Dodgers are so good, is you can't get past those guys. But you get past those guys, their bullpen not very good.
Yeah, I mean, and that's you can say that about almost every team in the NL right now. That's why you look at the Braves, and I've been saying this for weeks, and I think Bunky Pants had been saying this as well. He's probably going to be a little bit more upset than I am if the Braves don't make a move. But it kind of felt like that this might be the case. Because I'm a conspiracy theorist to a certain extent. And when I hear guys like Chip Carey on the broadcast saying stuff like, hey, you know, or beating into our psyche about the stats and the numbers for the bullpen and how people are talking about that's the worst part of the team, but when you look at them as a whole, they're not that bad. And they have the lowest ERA in the NL. I'm thinking to myself, that to me is just greasing the skids so that when they don't do anything, those numbers are there to back that up. I mean, you can't, numbers don't lie. Numbers don't lie. You can't argue those facts. So that's why I felt that way. And then when you look at, probably not last night, but what Dallas Keuchel can potentially give you, I mean, they look at that starting rotation with a lot of ifs and maybes, and if you could just get those guys right at the right time, then you might have something special. But, boy, that's a whole lot of ifs and maybes. But to me, again, I equate it to a goalie in hockey. You get that goalie right, that's standing on his head at the right time, some special things can happen, and I think that's what they're kind of counting on.
All right, we'll get to more of your discussion about the Braves. We're going to ask a poll question, take your calls about the Braves in a few minutes. I got something I got to tag because I was telling you yesterday, I think I interrupted the show, actually, because my wife was texting me. She was all in a panic. I mean, we had this weird animal day around my house yesterday. I had a cat that was throwing up all over the place. We had a king snake in the yard. My wife is freaking out because the cat's throwing up. We got a king snake in the yard. Even though I love king snakes, she hates all snakes. It doesn't matter the size or the type. But this is set against the fact that we have a coyote apparently now in our cul-de-sac eating things because it ate two. I thought it was one. Ends up two mourning doves. Now, if you don't know, if you're not a bird person, mourning doves are often mistaken for owls in the trees. Mourning doves, they sit up there and go, hoo-hoo, hoo-hoo. Those are mourning doves. They're not owls. So they're really nice birds, but they're kind of slow and fat, all right? And so, you know, because of the bird feeder, coyote gets one in the back. Feathers everywhere, Hugh. I go around to the front. He's got the second one. Tore its wings off. And just left them there. A lot of carnage. A lot of blood. I'm like, oh, I got morning dove blood I got to wash off. Man. Now I got coyotes. So I'm telling, I'm knocking on the neighbor's door saying, you know, careful of those kitties that you let outside. And my wife's all mad. She's like, she loves the morning doves. She hates coyotes.
Sounds like a lot going on.
Hey, Harry Douglas is going to be in the Midday Show Saturday, 11 to 2. Back to school bash, Jonesboro, Lee Street Park, going to be a great event. The Douglas brothers do such a great job. Their foundation, City of Jonesboro, giving away free school supplies to the first 600 Clayton County children, K through 8th grade levels. Join them at Lee Street Park in Jonesboro, Saturday, 11 to 2. The music, food, and all those great back-to-school giveaways from they're great guys, what they do, the Douglas brothers. When we get back in a moment, your chance to weigh in. Will the Braves make a move? Will they not? You tell us after a CBS Sports Minute.
Well, he just kind of was living on the edges and you know, he wasn't wild. I mean, it's just, I don't ever feel like he's ever wild. And you know, it's just kind of tough navigating for him tonight.
Ryan Snicker talking about Dallas Keuchel and not a premium Dallas Keuchel outing yesterday. It wasn't awful, but it wasn't great. And as a result, he gave way and got into a little bit of trouble. And Chad Sabaka came in out of the pen and promptly gave up a grand slam to Anthony Rendon. And that was pretty much that for the Braves last night in Washington. We'll see what they have tonight with Julio Teheran.
You can say the same thing about Sabaka last night as well. He had trouble with location. Mm-hmm. Kind of wild.
Except one that he threw over the middle of the plate that was hit about 400 feet.
Meatball. Meatball.
That was a strike. Meatball.
There it is.
Yeah.
I tell you what, shout out to, I know they can't hear me unless they listen to the radio app, but shout out to the fans that were there at the game because you could hear them loud.
Mm-hmm.
They were chopping, doing all what they do. So, yeah, shout out to the fans, man.
Right.
It's pretty cool.
Hey, yeah, and it is because, you know, it was like, you know, Braves fans have been, you know.
And they are listening. I was just told by Orin the Sigma, they are listening to us on the app. Shout out to the fans that are listening to us on the radio, was it radio.com app. That's awesome.
Yeah, those fans, either, you know, they'll make a trip, for example. Well, school's back for like I don't know, Rockdale or something.
A few people. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I never, ever started school until the, like, day after the Jerry Lewis telethon, the day after Labor Day.
My son starts, he starts in the middle of August. Like, because they're in football camp now. So he starts in the middle of August. So, yes, it's going down. It's going down.
Wow. Anyway, but some people, I guess, if kids are still out and you make the trip, or you don't have kids and you make the trip, you know, Washington, Philly is pretty easy and kind of fun little trip to make if you've got some time and you're inclined to do it. Notwithstanding the fact that let's keep in mind, there are a ton of Braves fans in the Washington metro area, kind of in the larger metro. Not that Richmond, Virginia is Washington metro, but how far is Richmond from D.C.? Not very far, and for the longest time, the Braves AAA Farm Club was in Richmond, Virginia. I mean, so the Richmond Braves were an institution up there. So I would imagine there's some old-school Braves fans, a lot of them, that grew up on the Richmond Braves and saw a lot of the players come through. Back at the morning show, we're talking about the Braves. Do you think, we're asking on our Twitter this morning, at 929TheGame, a question that we want to ask you on Twitter, that you can weigh in at 404-741-0929. You can also weigh in on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, same number, 404-741-0929. Do you think here, again, 33 hours and change away from the deadline, that the Braves will make a move in their bullpen? You can say, yes, they're going to make a move. No, they're not going to make a move, or they're going to surprise everybody and make a couple of moves. And as you do, I would love to have you not only vote in it, but go into the comments section, because we're going to be talking to you in the comments section about who you think they might get. Now, having said that, you look at the possibilities out there about who they might get. We're talking about guys like Ken Giles. He's one in that his name continues to come up. But the pickings are going to be slim, and there are going to be a lot of people fishing in that pool, as I said to you. And so the question becomes now for the Braves, what are you really, you know, willing to give up? Bob Nightingale, who is a longtime baseball guy, we've had him on the show, a baseball expert, he actually believes the Braves are not going to get a pitcher at all, but that they're going to go out and get another bat.
I think Abe was saying something about that. You know, Abe is our resident big baseball fan, like loves diehard baseball fan. He was saying with the struggles of Austin Riley that might be the case. I would say I think that might be a little bit premature. I know that, you know, this is his first season up and he had a great start, had a great long start.
Right.
But I think that they still believe in him and that they will allow him to work through that. And I don't know how, like, because if you get a bat, you're getting, like, a straight-up rental player. I don't know how much they're willing to give up to just go out and do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, because that's what we're talking about, John. We're talking about a rental player. And then you look at what Charlie Culberson was able to do, just, like, off of the whim, just come in and handle his business the way that he did. I don't know if that's the case. I mean, I hear what you're saying, you know, and, you know, defer to the baseball experts, but it doesn't feel like they're going to do that to me. It feels to me like if they're going to make a move, it's going to be for something a little bit more long-term than that.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I just don't see them. I mean, that maybe they surprise me in the next few hours or before tomorrow's deadline and they do get a bat. But I think you've got Austin Riley. I still have faith that Austin Riley's just in a funk. And then when he starts to see the ball better again and is more patient at the plate, that he's going to start driving the ball. It's just a matter of – it's sort of like Acuna or Donaldson. He's got to start going the other way. Once he starts going the other way, like Donaldson did, that's when it comes – I think he just got kind of, you know, pull happy and was pulling off the ball. And as you said, he was having trouble with high – they were throwing him
– high heat.
High heat and then down and away breakers. And so they would throw him down and away breaker. Either he chased that or when he finally did get something that he could hit, it was up at the zone and high. And he was just so anxious that he was missing it. So – again, I have full faith in Austin Riley. I have full faith in Josh Donaldson. I think that, you know, those guys can – let me ask you this. If you go into the playoffs with an outfield, Hugh, that has a – you know, let's just say it's a platoon between Adam Duvall and Austin Riley in left with Ender Inciarte in center and Ronald Acuna in right, are you unhappy with that? Because I'm not.
No. No, and I think, you know, when you talk about piecemealing and staying together – that might be what you have to do. You're talking about guys that don't play every day that are coming in and contributing for you like they've been playing every day. I tell you what, man, Charlie Culberson, you know, and it's been said many a times, this is a guy who could probably go somewhere else and be a starter. But he's happy here. He's comfortable here. And he gives you exactly what you need. The unfortunate thing about last night was that you didn't get a little bit more of that. That's how I look at that. But I'm cool with where they are. Dude, you've went into two hostile environments. You came out on the good side of one in Philadelphia. Washington is yet to be determined. But last night, that was a tough one. Last night, no question about it. It was a tough one. Got two more to go. Hopefully it'll work out in your favor. But last night, that was definitely a tough one.
Well, of course, so with Dansby coming back here, that'll help this weekend. I think Saturday's when he comes back.
Did anybody see Dansby Swanson's girlfriend at the thing last night?
Mallory Pugh?
Yeah, she was at the game. Is she from Washington?
I think she just follows him around.
That just sounds so bad. Like she just she one of those. No, I don't know. I don't know.
I think he plays her.
But she was at. Yeah. She was at the game last night. She was there.
Yeah, I don't know which team she plays for.
Okay, that's what it was. Thanks, Abe. She plays for the Washington Spirit, and I think they threw the pitch out. They threw out a pitch or something last night. It was her and somebody else. But I remember her being there because of the relationship.
Right.
And that's what I remember. So I don't. I guess she wasn't following him. Matter of fact, he probably was following her because that's where she works. So, yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, so the Braves get ready for Dansby Swanson to return. We'll see what kind of a move they make, ahead of the deadline tomorrow afternoon. And, again, that's not just the Braves. It's everybody. And we have Marcus Stroman traded to the Mets, and now we sit back and we're kind of all waiting for these dominoes to fall. They keep saying, 8, 10, 12 big trades could happen, that the Dodgers and everybody. And I guess people are just – I guess they're just waiting for the first one to happen before they jump on board. And I would imagine, who's probably sitting pretty right now? Our teams like the Mets and the Blue Jays with guys like, Ken Giles and certainly Noah Syndergaard and Zach Wheeler, where here they could drive they're listening and going, what do you give us? What do you give us? I mean, they're going to drive this to the end and make people panic and then give them way too much.
Well, the first domino did drop, John Stroman. That it just was one of those moves that nobody expected. But that technically is the first domino, and now it makes you feel like, really, that since the Mets did what they did, that it's potentially no moves will be made. We talked about all this, moves being made, is pitchers going this place and that place. It might be something where no big names go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That could be the case as well. Because we also thought in the offseason that, Bryce Harper would find a home sooner than he did, and that didn't happen. Dallas Keuchel was out there for a long time, Craig Kimball as well. So I think that baseball, in their own kind of way, they're trying to take back the balance of power. And this is the way that they're trying to do it.
So some of the Braves right now are just scuffling a little bit. I mean, we know that Austin Riley has scuffled, but it's interesting that this team does pick up when a guy's struggling. When Josh Donaldson was struggling, other guys had it kind of his back. He was still playing great defense, of course. But Ender steps back into the rotation and into the lineup and makes big plays out in the outfield like he usually does, like he never missed 54 games or anything like that. Hits a gigantic home run, or potentially a gigantic home run, so he's contributing. The guy that I've got question marks, for example, at the moment is Tyler Flowers. And I've gotten to a point where, coming down the stretch here, I think that they ought to quit the whole concept of platooning and just make Brian McCann the starter. Because if I don't see Tyler Flowers behind the plate anytime soon, I'm good with that. Defensively, he is such a liability. Every single game, there's at least one pass ball. It's just like, oh, my God, Tyler. As big and strong as he is, if he hit 25 home runs, maybe you could get away with it. But, all right. He's a guy I've got a little frustrations with right now. Anyway, all right, got that off my chest. McCann's just been, so clutch for you because there's just no difference. It's not like it's six of one, half a dozen the other. It's like all Brian McCann to me. All right, I got that off my chest. Thanks, you.
Yeah, you're good. You got it. That's all you. That's why I did not say a word. That was you on your soapbox.
There's going to be a surprise player for the Atlanta Falcons, maybe two or three or four. Well, one of those surprise players be a young man who played college ball at LSU. Dukes and Bell had a chance to talk to this player. We'll tell you who it is and why he might be a surprise. Next with John and Hugh on The Morning Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Yeah, of course, it's a really important day for the, 25 or so rookies. And then to me, the development players, guys who we really spent a lot of time on last year, the Matt Gonos of the world, Kurt Benkerts, who was like, man, we put it, you know, a good 13 months into him. Let's see where we're at. And then after that, another group of guys to go. So we'll have a good enough size group, but you're right that it's an advantage. And when you're presented with that opportunity, I want to take advantage of it.
It was Coach Quinn yesterday with the two of us at training camp talking about Thursday night's game with the Broncos. So you can expect to see mostly rookies and first-year players and guys who are going to get, you know, kind of deep depth chart guys who are going to get a chance to show out a little bit, Hugh, in this game against Denver.
Evaluations. That's basically what it is. Everybody's going to be evaluated. The young guys. We kind of already know what the older guys are going to bring to the table. So, yeah, it's about the young guys.
Well, our time at camp is done. Last open camp for the Falcons was yesterday. For the fans, the next opportunity and the only final opportunity you'll have to see them work out will be this coming Sunday at Military Appreciation Day at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's a noon practice. If you haven't been to the stadium, one of my friends yesterday, just a guy named Mike, said he's never been to the stadium. And Mike was telling me that he's going to go down on Sunday and pay the $5. It's $5 to get in, $5 to see that. So just keep that in mind. Sunday, and tickets are available at Ticketmaster. $5 gets you in the door. If you haven't been to the stadium, perfect opportunity for you to do that. One other quick thing, if I may, Hugh, just a little shout-out to David Bassidy and to Matt and Curtis and the entire staff there at the Falcons for all the work they did with us this week. It was a great week at camp, and I really appreciate the effort that they did on our behalf. And
awesome.
Yeah, it was great. And, you know, the guys really worked well. The fans were great. Everything just went swimmingly at practice.
Yeah, no question about that. I mean, I enjoyed it. Like I said, I like being around the fans. Love being around the fans. I like AC better, though. I like AC. Air conditioning, to me, is like the best conditioning.
Yeah.
Air conditioning.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
But then, you know, the whole light lotion thing. You're like, listen, no matter how light the lotion was, you still had a nice little lather going on because it was like, it was still hot. It was hot. And it's funny. It's because it's sneaky hot. Because we were out there yesterday, and I remember when Randy rolled up, he said, oh, man, it's hot out here. And I was like, it don't feel that hot because we were under the partition. And the partition, you know, with the breeze blowing and everything, it was cool. But, boy, when you walked out there on that field, Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. It was a different kind of sweltering heat. I mean, you was out there leaking. That's why we had Deidre Sinat on the set when he was leaking like somebody just poured Gatorade. He took a Gatorade bath. I was like, wow. So, yeah, it's hot. It's hot in Georgia. Yeah, it's hot in Georgia. Patrick Ewing kind of sweat going on that young man had. It was hot.
The Falcons are going to give an opportunity to a lot of players to, you know, make a mark in this preseason. And not just rookies and first-year guys, but guys who have yet to make a mark. One of those is from LSU. And no, we're not talking about Duke Riley. We're talking about somebody else. Russell Gage, who at the moment is listed as the number one of the number two, second in the string on the depth chart at wide receiver. Ever since he came over, Russell Gage, they've been trying him at different spots and trying to figure out how he might help the team. They obviously like Russell Gage, but Russell Gage, you know, as a special teams guy, has made some good plays, but really hasn't broken through as a player with this team. I mean, he's going to get a chance now to show what he's got in this preseason, and my guess is he has a real good chance of making the team. So what of Russell Gage as a player, and what of LSU and whatnot? Duke Sembel had a chance to talk to a few for a few minutes to the young player from LSU, wide receiver Russell Gage.
Well, for one, you know, we have a real talented wide receiver core, so it's a great opportunity for me to learn from those guys. You know, Julio, Mo, the vets like that, they know so much. So it's great for me to learn from them and get better. For two, you know, special teams, you know, even though, you know, I think we did well last year, I plan for us to really dominate this year. You know, I want us to lead the NFL if it's possible. So I really want us to take that over, dominate. It's my role to help do that, you know, and so that's what I plan for this year.
It is Russell Gage, guys, second-year Falcon with us from LSU. Again, a guy who made his bones as a special teamer and receiver with the Tigers. So, yeah, man, today we see a lot of strange looks on the defense. I mean, did you see what's going on out there?
Yeah, it was a little different. They told me from the jump that they were going to throw something different at us, you know. But like I said, it's good. It's good work for us. You know, our defense, to me, is one of the best in the league. So and we get to, anytime we get to see looks like that, you know, it prepares us for the game. Any kind of game looks, it really prepares us.
How do you learn from a guy like Julio or Sanu or, you know, guys that have been around and you're trying to absorb some of the things they tell you? Because it's easy, right, when a guy goes, you need to do this. And then you're like, what?
Man, the details, bro. They really detail their work. So when you really get out here working with them, you can really see the details they put into it and learn like that, you know, by example. Julio is a real good example guy, you know. He'll say one thing and you kind of like, I don't really understand until you see him do it, you know, in person. Then he explains it again. You're like, okay, that makes a lot of sense. So, you know, that's two things that really help, I think, you know, for me.
It is Russell Gage with us, guys, and for what we're talking about is a lot of defensive, like 3-4, 4-3, guys, all sorts of strange looks with the safeties. So even from the sideline, we're like, what's going on out there? So what do you think about this team, this offense with, again, new coordinator? Last year was a rookie, you had Sarkisian, now we got Dirk Cutter, who knows these guys. Anything different, any difference you can appreciate?
Tempo, you know, I like the way we move the ball, you know. Dirk is real, you know, real exciting, and I love it, you know, and I can't wait to see this explosive offense that we have, all this talent that I'm sure you guys know we have. I think he's going to do a great job of putting us together, putting us in position to make the best plays, and I'm excited, man.
All right, let's talk about something else real quick. What's up with LSU and Alabama, man? What is the deal? Now, you played on some teams that were definitely talented enough to beat Alabama, but what is the reason you told your boys, like, man, we lost Alabama again? What happened?
Oh, man, they just got the upper edge, man. but Bama's a really talented team, you know, and so are we. It's always an exciting game when we come into it. You know, we got a new locker room, so maybe that's going to play.
It's tight. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, that's like something you'd see on like a Virgin Airlines flight coming across the Atlantic. All right, talk about the Mad Hatter. What was it like playing for Les Miles, man?
It was great, man. His personality, bro. His personality is all over the place. You know, you never know what to expect out of Coach Miles. You know, he come out one day and he's eating grass, and the next day, you know, he's dead serious, you know. So it was really great playing with Coach Miles.
Yeah, it's good. It's a great place to go to school, man. I have friends that played there, and everybody talks about the environment and whatnot. What do you think about Ed Orgeron now? And, you know, because 3 years now, Ed, again, has not beaten Alabama.
Oh, Coach, another personality guy, but
yes, I am.
But I love
good Coach to see you, Russ.
I love Coach O, you know, and he's doing a great job, you know, with the team and everything, and putting guys together. I think they really have a shot this year, you know. And I probably said that last year, and we say it every year, but mark my words, you know, it's something different about the atmosphere and everything that's going on at LSU. You know, with all the new facilities and everything that's coming together, some difference is going to happen this year.
It is Russell Gage with us, guys. A Hall of Fame game Thursday night against the Broncos. So you look at it like, man, I got no margin for error in this competition, or you got it like you look at a big picture, I got the whole summer to impress the staff?
Second one, you know. it's a big picture, man. You know, I don't look at it like, you know, oh, I don't want to, you know, mess anything up. No, they understand coming in that what I can do, you know, and I'm planning to show them exactly my talents and what I'm able to bring to the table for this team. So that's the way I go approach it.
Well, we appreciate the time, man. It's been fun watching you develop and continue to develop. We think you're going to play a big part in special teams and certainly your role for this team this year. Thanks so much, man.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys.
That was Russell Gage with Dukes and Bell. Now, Russell last year, 6 catches, 63 yards in his rookie season. But as Dukes and Bell were talking about, Hugh, made a lot of big plays on special teams, part of the coverage units, really did well here. But depending on how many wide receivers they carry, you have the big three. And then after that, Justin Hardy's going to make the team. That's four. You would think that if Maurice Green shows out as a kick returner that can really become the first, you know frontline kickoff returner, he's going to make the team as a wide receiver. That's five. That leaves Gage, you know, Gray, and some others fighting for that last spot if they carry six.
Yeah, if that's the case. I think the numbers game going to be a little bit different this year, John, to be totally honest. I think that with Kwadri being out there, the young running back, that it's going to be a little bit of a different thing. Kwadri Olison, didn't want to mess up his last name. I think he's going to throw the numbers off a little bit.
More wrapping up the Falcons, our time at the Falcons camp as they get ready for Denver. Matt Ryan spoke yesterday after practice. What does the quarterback say about his impression of the new Dirt Cutter offense? We have that audio. We'll play it for you next with John and you on the morning show on this Tuesday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's a really good opportunity for our young guys to get out there with the lights on and showcase what they can do. So I'm looking forward to, you know, watching those guys play on this coming Thursday night, you know, seeing their hard work come to fruition out there on the field.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.